You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. Anthony is back in our studios in New York City. I'm here at George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida. Yankees and the Red Sox right at the recordings, about 4 minutes away from first pitch. I'm doing the Michael Kay show from here because tomorrow I'm going to be on the call.
Unprecedented.
I know. It's never happened before, for me anyway. And Rangers and Lightning tomorrow, I'll be on the call for that. And last night I was in Carolina for Rangers and Hurricanes, and Anthony, that was a playoff game. Honestly, from the buzz in the crowd, which had a great mix of Hurricane and Ranger fans, from the intensity, from the checking, there was like no room. These were two outstanding hockey teams, really completely and totally engaged in that game, and the Rangers win 1-0. And boy, I had a lot of fun calling that game, and I know you had a lot of fun watching and listening to it, but to get a game in mid-March that, you know, really kind of meant something. Rangers now with a 6-point lead in the Metropolitan Division. But boy, those two teams played it like it was a game seven.
Well, I'll tell you what, Don. And by the way, I listen, because if you were like me, having to travel back from Manhattan to Brooklyn, and whatever was going on in Brooklyn yesterday, that when I got out of the parking garage on West End Avenue, Don, when I put in Waze to tell me how to get home, it said to go through Jersey and Staten Island.
Oh, that's never good.
That is not.
I've had to do the reverse of that.
Through Brooklyn.
Go through Brooklyn to get the jersey. It's never good.
So that was never a good thing. I listened to basically the entire game. And I'm going to tell you this, and I have a very good friend, one of my best friends who listens, says it was the best game that you ever called.
Oh, wow.
I thought you were fantastic. You and Dave were great. That you could feel the intensity, you could feel the emotion. I thought Dave was going to kill somebody on that last icing. Because he did not think it was icing.
I have to go
back and look, but I trust you guys' judgment. I got to tell you, it was awesome. They let that late Fox goal, they held up. Igor was fantastic. The defense has been great. Peter Laviolette seems to really like Zach Jones, huh? He always feels he always wants to point out how great he's been, which is a testament to how good he's played in the absence of Jacob Trouba. And Keandre Miller had a very, very strong game. I like that pairing with him and Schneider, who, remember, was baby Trouba, if you remember, about a year and a half ago. He was dubbed that because he played hard, hit hard, but he seems to be playing really well, and that is a good Carolina team. You shut down Jake Guentzel, you shut down Evgeny Kuznetsov, essentially make them non-factors, and it was a big boy win for the Rangers. Now 6 points ahead, 17 games to go. What more could you ask for? It was overall a fantastic game, coming off a back-to-back. And yes, the Devils are not as strong of an opponent, but now you're on the back-to-back in Carolina, enemy territory. You're tired. You could easily lay down there, and there was a lot of chances for the Rangers to do that. A lot of pressure from Carolina in the second, late in the second, early in the third, and late in the third. But they held on. It was unbelievable. It was a really, really good win for them.
You're right, Anthony. The intensity was great, and the fact that the Rangers had played the night before, had to travel to Carolina. Carolina had a couple of days off between games. I thought that was going to be a huge advantage for the Hurricanes. But the Rangers came out. I thought they were the much better team in the first. Role reversal in the second, where the Hurricanes were the better team. But Shesterkin just didn't blink, and the third period was just, it was about matchups. There was just no room. It was just a fun, fun game, and a great win for the Rangers. Now a 6-point lead on the Hurricanes in the Metropolitan Division. Both teams have 17 games left. Rangers are in Tampa tomorrow, while Carolina welcomes in Florida. And how about the Panthers last night?
What a game.
You know, and we're following it on our phones, getting into the bus to go to the airport, and it's 3-1 Dallas. And, you know, you're thinking, all right, this is not going to be the night for Florida. Pavelski gets a goal, makes it 3-1. Next thing you know, bing, 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 bing. It was 3-0. I saw it at 3-1, and then they end up scoring the four and answer goals overall, win the game 4-3. The Florida Panthers, just scary good, Anthony. Scary good.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, Don? They were scary beforehand. They were scary before the trade deadline. They get Tarasenko, and it just makes their offense that much better. The Stars are one of the teams. I know you had them as your preseason team to come out of the West to make it to the Stanley Cup final. And they were to have a 3-0 lead on a team that, of that caliber, who's been that good this year, and then to come back and win 4-3 is pretty unbelievable. It speaks to how good that team is. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. Florida was well on their way to being one of the best teams in hockey before I put in my bet for them to win the President's Trophy. But you just saw it with Reinhardt playing the way he is, with the way that they seemingly, again, their splits at home and away are so, so good. They don't have double-digit losses either place, whether it be home or away. They seem to be able to play with anybody. And the thing about them is, while they score a lot of goals, their defense, which is something that usually doesn't happen with really high-scoring teams, you see it with Vancouver a lot, their defense is very, very good. And if they get a gate, they get a lead, they're kind of like Carolina in the sense they could shut you down. You're not going to get a whole lot of chances to come back. And a game like that, like I said, for a team like the Stars, who are first in the Central, one of the best teams in the West, to be able to come back like that against them on the road, by the way, very impressive. There's not much more you could say other than the Panthers are the team to beat in the East, in my opinion.
Yeah, no question. And what's going on with the Detroit Red Wings? Blown out in Buffalo 7-3. And you could talk about Dylan Larkin being out. I get it. Dylan Larkin is their best player. But you shouldn't go in free fall just because you lose one player. And to lose six in a row now, and they're in all kinds of trouble. They're already outside looking in for the playoffs because they played one more game than the Islanders. Again, six straight losses after the five-game winning streak. So they've got 72 points, 33 wins. Islanders right now 72 with the game in hand. And that was a big win for Philadelphia now. Give them credit. Now they bounce back after getting slaughtered by Tampa. So they've kept their head above water. They've got 76 points with 66 games played. So I'm not sure Philadelphia is out of the woods, but Detroit is kind of changing the narrative for the Islanders, for Philly, maybe even Washington too, because I don't see, unless they turn it around real soon, this stone be sinking for Detroit, and I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on.
Yeah, that loss against the Kings doesn't hurt so bad now, right? If you're the Islanders, yes, they lost 3-0. It wasn't a good win. I mean, it wasn't a good loss. But when you think, okay, the Red Wings are going to make up ground here, they're playing a Sabres team with nothing to play for, but their defense is a mess. They have some injuries that they're dealing with offensively that's making it hard for them to find scoring. And they're sinking. They're a sinking ship right now, and the Islanders, playing as well as they did now, not only are nipping at their heels, they're right there. And now the Red Wings are going to have to play like they did earlier in the year, and probably better than that, in order to hold off the Islanders to make a playoff spot here.
No, it's going to be a real tough spot for them. Pittsburgh looks like they're done. They lose in overtime to the Senators 2-1. That was a nice win for the Wild as they're trying to get themselves going. I mean, the Coyotes are just
That did not age well. There's some things that have aged well for me this year The Coyotes being spunky was not one of those.
Yeah, well, listen, they were spunky and then they just ran out of spunk.
Not a good thing. Consult the doctor.
No, not a good thing. So, you know, the Wild, you know, that win over the weekend where they pull the goaltender in overtime. So they still have work to do.
I had the Predators in that game.
You know, they're six points back of Vegas. They're not going to do it, but still it was a nice win because Vegas had a very good win as well in overtime as Eichel scores in OT. So Vegas has 77 points, 1 point back of Nashville. And give Nashville credit, they lost that game in overtime, but they still, again, what is it, unbeaten in their last 11.
Yeah.
So they continue to do well. The Kings, with that win, 3-0 over the Islanders back on Tuesday, or Monday, you saw that was going to happen. It was the end of a road trip, and the Kings have played well. They've got 77 points. So I don't think Minnesota's going to be making it, but the fact that they've been spunky. So it's really just, is Vegas going to be that last wild card team? Is it going to be Nashville? Are the Kings going to fall there? So there's a few things at play here, but I'm prepared to say here on March 13th that we're set with our eight teams in the Western Conference. I know I've said that multiple times this year in both conferences, but I think
less of a stretch now, though. Less of a stretch.
Less
now.
Of it. I think we're set with our eight teams in the West. I'm not prepared to say that obviously in the East, but it's getting a little bit closer to that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room, and that, of course, is the Matt Rempe suspension. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. Last time we were on the air was Monday before the game against the Devils. And that was just a bad moment for Matt Rempe, just a bad one. And I know there's a lot of Ranger fans that want to defend him. I know that Peter Laviolette said last night, kind of foolishly in my opinion, that he was bracing himself to hit the boards. And even Dave Maloney during the broadcast is like, okay, all right. I get you want to defend your player, but at the end of the day, he said he still talked to him. So 4-game suspension, maybe it seems a little much. Some people think it should have been more. I think it's probably just right. I can live with it. I could have lived if it was just 2. Fact remains is what doesn't apply here to me, Anthony, is, well, it's a first-time offense. It's his 10th National Hockey League game. It's the second time he's been thrown out of a game for a game misconduct. So for 10 games, he has made some really difficult decisions, including the one on Monday, and he rightfully so should be suspended. And, you know, if they keep winning without him and Brodzinski plays well, you know, it could be very difficult for him to get back into the lineup again. So this could be the line of demarcation for him. Like, when does it finally settle down? Maybe this is the moment where, you know, we're going to find out exactly what this Matt Rempe situation is going to turn out to be in New York. He's a Falk hero, but you know, it's very difficult to be a hero when you're sitting in the sin bin or not playing in games because you're suspended.
Well, look, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there, Don. What's interesting is, and I watched the video that the Department of Player Safety put out, and they said, like you said, that he had no supplemental, that he's had no discipline in the past, but you mentioned game misconduct, right? Mm-hmm. So, a great podcast. So, he's only played in a handful of games, and he has 2 misconducts, but they said they didn't factor that in, and he got 4 games. So, look, we've seen guys like Tom Wilson and guys that are repeat offenders do similar things and get less in their first or second infraction of the season. And for some reason, Rempe got 4. So clearly the Department of Player Safety is trying to make a statement here. He's a big kid. You could say the Bastion hit was reckless, and I think we both kind of agreed that it wasn't a good hit, but I think you were a little more harsh than I was, Don, in saying, you know, what is he supposed to do? Running in, you know, he's going into a guy that's low. This didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I give Peter Laviolette credit. Maybe he's campaigning to be the press secretary under RFK and Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure. But I don't know if I'm bracing myself by sticking my elbow out and almost moving it towards the head of Siegenthaler. Like, that's just not something, and clearly the player safety didn't agree with that either. It is not a good hit. It is a dirty play, and I don't think Rempe's a dirty player, but you talked about it yesterday on the Michael Kay show. You're going to run the risk if you keep doing this of getting a reputation like Tom Wilson. It's kind of interesting. Tom Wilson has been pretty much on good behavior this year, to my knowledge. I mean, I haven't heard a whole lot from him. Right.
No.
So, you know, you can get away from that reputation, but it's also a matter of the amount of times that you get suspended. Eventually, you have to kind of lay off and stop. Now, is he doing this intentionally? That's up for interpretation. I don't know him well enough. From what you've told me, Don, he's a really nice kid, and he's a good kid, and his minors coaches have said the same thing. Like, he gets upset. He's gotten upset when he's gotten penalties because he says, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm just really, really big. But, you know, that's only an excuse for so long. If it keeps happening and keeps happening, now it's a habit, right? So he's got to learn how to keep his elbows down, keep his shoulders down, recognize the situation that you're in, and just do a better job of taking care of his elbows and his shoulders. But this is a learning experience for him. It's his first time getting suspended, and hopefully he learns from it.
Yeah, we'll see. But I guess it works out from a time standpoint, because he'll be eligible to play in less than a week on Tuesday against Winnipeg because of the condensed schedule the Rangers are in. They played last night, play tomorrow, play Saturday, play Sunday against the Islanders, and then he'll be eligible to come off the suspension list then, so he'll be able to play Winnipeg next Tuesday. So it ends up being a 4-game suspension, and depending on what your schedule is, you could be out for 2 weeks. In this case, he's just out for the 1 week, and then we'll see how the Rangers play moving forward from there. Let's hear from you. I haven't had a lot of interaction at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct, or at Anthony Pusick. AZ Ranger says, what are your thoughts on what to do with Trouba when he gets back? There's been a lot of anti-Trouba sentiment on Rangers Twitter the last few days. I mean, what do you do? He's your captain.
They don't want him to play, Don.
Well, that's foolish.
Now, I think they're 5-0 without him, and
yeah,
people are taking that to mean that he's terrible. Now, keep in mind, the Rangers have done very well this year, so it's not like they're struggling with Jacob Trouba in the lineup. Now, here's a question for you, Don. You've seen how successful Schneider and Miller have been together. Does Jacob Trouba drop down to the third pair with Gustafsson? That's something I think that could be entertained. I don't know. Again, like, this is a very small sample size for Zach Jones and how he's played. Braden Schneider has done a good job in the limited times he's had to step into that role with Miller, where they've had to be the shutdown pair. I'm not ready to say, you know, abandon ship on Jacob Trouba. He's the captain. He's not going anywhere. So everybody can calm down on Rangers Twitter with that. And I don't necessarily think, yes, the reason that it seems like Trouba and Miller get beat a lot is because they, as Laviolette has said multiple times, they take on the toughest assignments every game. So yeah, they're going to give up more goals. Now, there are some games where they look better or worse than others. Keandre Miller had a great game yesterday. Jacob Trouba has had fantastic games this year. And there are some games where they do give up the goal, where they're on the ice for most of the goals. And you say, how is this possible? But no, I don't know what your thoughts are, Don. I've seen it too. I don't fully understand it. I don't know where that sentiment is coming from. I don't know what Jacob Trouba has done to warrant he's terrible, get rid of him. Maybe it's his contract, and they realize that, you know, they think that they could make do with what they have. Wow. But I wouldn't. If Jacob Trouba is not ready for the playoffs, I think you're going to miss him dearly, because that is a presence on the defensive side that provides a lot of physicality. No, just, and if you don't have Matt Rempe, you need that physicality from somewhere.
Yeah, it's not. I understand, like you said, it's the contract and their record when he doesn't play. And I thought Jones played well. As you were right, Miller, I thought, was terrific. He's been playing much better, which I think is a credit to getting a chance to play with Jacob Trouba. You want depth. I mean, Ruedel can't even crack this lineup because he really can't play the left side. And on the right side, it's kind of awkward. He was brought in case they have like massive injuries, but Jones has played well. So I don't know when Ruedel is going to get a chance to play here. Still another couple of weeks before Jacob Trouba is going to come back, but I don't see any changes at all once he does come back to affect where you're going to be sitting him. I mean, Zach Jones is going to go back to being the role player that he is. I had a conversation with Brian Boyle on Saturday. He was there doing the Ranger game, and he said you need 8 defensemen when you get to the playoffs. You want to make a run, you're going to need at least 2 spare defensemen, because there's just so many important minutes, overtime games. These guys sometimes will log 30, 35 minutes in some of these playoff games to go into overtime, and guys are going to get hurt. So you're going to need Zach Jones. You're going to need Chad Ruedel. Jacob Trouba's not going anywhere. Joseph Reed says, hey, Don and Anthony, big Devil fan here. Obviously, this season didn't go as planned. Who do you think Fitz might hire as coach in the offseason? My hope is Sullivan or Berube. Well, Sullivan hasn't been let go by Pittsburgh. I don't know if that will happen. I'd love to get Mike Sullivan as the coach in the New Jersey Devils if I were the Devils. I don't know if Pittsburgh is going to let him go. Berube, on the other hand, he worked magic in St. Louis. He really did. So I think he could be gobbled up. Would he be a good fit with New Jersey? I guess they would have to think about doing something like that.
I think Bruce Boudreau got a raw deal in Vancouver. He had a really funny, I don't know if you saw this, Don. I think it was TSN or Sportsnet during the trade deadline. He was calling teams asking for his services as a coach. And then he said yeah, he would go as far as just being the replay guy. So he's having some fun with the fact that he's out of a job again. But I could see him getting a crack, and I think he's actually pretty good. And I'd be curious to see what they do there. You know, and we talked about it. We didn't understand the extension for Lindy Ruff. And also, is it really his fault this year? How good were their goalies? How good are their goalies now? Is that his fault? Is it the fault that Hischier got hurt, that Hughes got hurt, that they were so banged up? Now, it's a perfect storm of they've had one good year or had one good year with Lindy Ruff. I think that this is like for a growing team, this kind of happens. Unfortunately, Lindy Ruff was the byproduct of it. I think that they've reached past the development stage, and Lindy Ruff comes in to help develop defensemen, help develop younger players. He's a good coach for that. I think now it's time for you to go out and get an established coach, kind of what you were referring to. And get somebody that's going to take this team to the next level, that has playoff experience, that knows what it's going to take to win a 7-game series and play, you know, however many games it's going to take to make it to a cup. Those names are ones that you've mentioned. I don't know if they go, you know, off the beaten path and go a college coach. I don't think that that's the way to go. It's probably going to be one of these coaches that have been moved on from here. Maybe Gerard Gallant gets a shot. Who knows?
Maybe. It is possible. But yeah, Sullivan out. We'll see what happens there. Berube, and as you said, Boudreau. Big fan of Bruce. Bruce Boudreau, big wrestling fan too, by the way. I know.
I like that angle too, to be honest.
Tony says, hey guys, thoughts on Roslovic staying on the Rangers top line? He seems to be a good fit so far. Yeah, he's a hard worker and he brings speed. And what he does with that speed is he ups the pace for Kreider and Zibanejad. So I think he's perfect on that right wing on the top line. And I've been I don't know how you feel about Anthony. I've been very happy with Wennberg and Roslovic. I think they've been terrific.
Yeah, like I said, Don, I listened to the game with you and Dave last night on the app, and I heard Roslovic's name a lot, and I heard Wennberg's name a lot. Wennberg has been great in the defensive zone. That line, that he's fitting right into that Kulikako line of just kind of generating pressure against the lesser lines and also kind of shutting down teams, not giving up a whole lot of chances. And Roslovic has been good. I mean, they scored. The only goal they scored last night was when that line was out there, and it was a good play by Zibanejad in the corner, described beautifully by you. And I like both of them. And again, it wasn't sexy, but you could see this team has gotten deeper with the moves they've made. We haven't seen Ruedel yet, but you know what? Good to have him, especially with True about 2 to 3 weeks. If somebody else gets banged up, and there was questions of whether Fox could play not only this game, but the Devil game. Luckily, he has, and he was able to. But you can't, at the moment, you can't hate what Drury's done. It may not have been the flashiest moves, but the team that I thought improved greatly and I thought got better than the Rangers just beat 1-0 last night in their building.
Jimmy Berger says, hockey-related top five for you. Who, in your opinion, are the five best Stanley Cup champion teams you've seen in your memory? If you don't have time to think of five right away, I understand, but I'm curious what you would come up with. I've always said, Anthony, that my lifetime is obviously longer than yours.
Slightly,
that,
sure.
That one of the best teams that I've ever saw was the Calgary Flames in 89. They won the President's Trophy, tons and tons of Hall of Famers. With Mike Vernon between the pipes, you had McGinnis, you had Suter, you had Nieuwendyk, you had Jim Poplinski, who I loved. He was a really good player. Lanny McDonald. I mean, it just, there were so many great players. Joel Otto was on that team. So not only for what they accomplished on the ice, winning that Stanley Cup in six games against Montreal and that thrilling seven-game series in the first round against Vancouver, just how many stars they had on that team. A young Theo Fleury was on that team. Just a tremendous, that might be my number one in my lifetime, the 89 Flames. Other teams, I mean, the 04 Lightning were a tremendous team with Le Cavalier and St. Louis. They were terrific, and I believe they won the President's Trophy too in 04. So you talk about great teams, Hall of Famers, and how great they were in the regular season and the postseason. That 94 Ranger team has to get consideration. Despite having to go seven games with the Devils and Canucks, they made short work of the Islanders and the Capitals in just nine playoff games. They won the President's Trophy. So those are some of the teams that pop into my mind. Do you have any ones that you can think of?
Yeah, and it might be recency bias on my end, but for the story alone, I think one of the top five, and I'm not going to go in order here, it's a great question, and we could spend a whole podcast on it, quite frankly. I'm going to put Vegas in there. I think that their story is 30 for 30 worthy. What they've done is amazing in the short time that they've been in National Hockey League franchise, and for it to culminate with a couple of the what they call misfits that are still on that team, and they've done a lot of moving and shaking, as you know, Don, to get to that point, and some nefarious cap movement as a result of that as well. I have to put them as one of the top five teams just from the storyline alone. I think that I would put one of them. I would put them in there. When I say one of them, I mean, obviously, I think that that 2015 Blackhawk team that beat the Lightning, I think that was one of the better teams I've seen. Those Red Wing Penguins Stanley Cups in the mid-2000s, those were amazing.
Yeah.
I gotta go with one of those Pittsburgh teams. I agree with you on Tampa. That Torch team was unbelievable. And yeah, I think also the Peter Laviolette-led Carolina Hurricanes in 06, beating the Oilers 4-3. That's probably what I would go with.
Yeah, the 06 problem with the 06 Carolina team, I covered that Stanley Cup final, is that should have been Buffalo's championship. They were so depleted on the blue line for that Game 7 in the conference final. I don't want to take anything away from what Carolina was able to accomplish, but if Buffalo had been at full strength, I think they would have won the Stanley Cup in 06. So those are a couple of the teams that you think of. The 96 Avalanche were very good. They knocked off the Detroit Red Wings that broke the record for points in a regular season in the conference final, made short work of the Panthers in the championship. Of course, you had Patrick Waugh, Joe Sakic. Really, really good Colorado team. So there's a bunch. So hopefully, Jimmy, we were able to answer your question. Derek, right up my alley, does the NHL have the most competitive league in all major American team sports? I believe they do. I think it's very difficult to make the playoffs. There's a tremendous amount of parity. I do believe it is the most competitive. When you can see what ended up happening last year with Boston being so great in the regular season and then getting disposed of in the first round, it maybe hurts the dominance of the regular season, but it just shows you how competitive the sport is.
In terms of competition, I think there's nothing better than the National Hockey League and the Stanley Cup. And this year alone, Don, we've talked about it. Our top fives have, which we haven't done in a while, by the way, have been pretty consistent in the teams that have been there, but the number one team has changed a lot. It's been Vancouver. It's been the Rangers. It's been Florida. Have we put anybody else up there? I think one week some hack put up the Winnipeg Jets. I think that was me. And for some reason, this sport, maybe whether it's because it's just about having the hot goaltender or having a guy that's hot at the right time, there's more, the statistics don't necessarily back it up, but you could feel that there's more upsets, especially when those Kings were making those runs to their Stanley Cups in the mid-2000s, early 2010s, that if you get a team at the right time that gets hot and sneaks its way in, a la maybe an Islanders, or you take a look at a team like Nashville who's playing so well right now, they want to just bottle this up and just bring it into April and bring it into May. You could surprise a team over a 7-game series. And that can't be said in basketball as much. And it doesn't happen that often in baseball. And we know with football, it's only one game and anything can happen. It's a coin flip, essentially, in certain instances. But competition-wise, I don't think anything beats the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Four games tonight in the National Hockey League. You've got the Kings and the Blues in St. Louis at 7:30. Good game for the Jets at home against the Nashville Predators, two of the better teams in the National Hockey League. At 10, second game of the doubleheader on TNT following Kings-Blues will be Capitals and Oilers. I mean, the Capitals have a chance here, Anthony, but the schedule is just so brutal for them. So we'll see what they can do against the Oilers in the 10:30, the Avalanche, and the Canucks in Vancouver. So some really important late games tonight in the NHL.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just taking a look at those again. Boy, those TNT games, man. Blues Kings is huge. The Oilers and the Capitals, that could be a high scoring game. Canucks Avalanche, obviously, I think in my opinion is the talk of town. Let's see. You know what? And this is another. Again, we talked about it when the Predators were fighting to get into that wild card spot. That they had some big games. This is a big game for them. Let's see what they do against the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. Can they hang? Can they win? I'd start to feel a little more confident that they could do something in the playoffs if they beat a team like Winnipeg. So, you know, as we get down here, there's not going to be many days that we say, oh, big game on the slate. Almost every night there's going to be a matchup or a face-off that could be a playoff preview or a team fighting for their life or a team that's trying to play spoiler. And it's a really exciting time to be watching hockey.
No, it certainly is going to be a lot of fun, a lot of important games here, and we're not even midway through March, so there's still tons of time. It feels late because the trade deadline is over and, you know, weather's starting to warm up. It's kind of a playoff feel to it, but still, you've got a lot of hockey still left to be played. A lot of things can happen between now and when we get things going in April for the postseason. So, looks like we're going to have a podcast on Friday. It was kind of up in the air because I'm going to be doing a lot of travel on that particular day. I'll be in Pittsburgh, then I got to come home for the K show, but I think we can make it work. So we're going to have a podcast on Friday. If for some reason we don't, because I worry with travel, Anthony, because flights get delayed, things get kind of messed up, so it's really difficult to kind of go on a hard schedule.
I think people will understand.
But just follow social media. If we can't get it up there, then we'll reconvene on Monday. But let's try to do this again on Friday, buddy.
I look forward to it.
All right, we'll talk to you again on Friday. You need to get in touch with us at Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.